Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining another episode of Speak Your Truth podcast with me, your host, Sonia Majeeb. Today is July 6th, 2020. I hope that you are all having a beautiful Monday. We're kicking off this week with a brand new show, brand new episode with Dr. Lenore Marciano Luna. She's a holistic doctor, PhD, spiritual healer, teacher, and also does acupuncture, an acupuncture physician. We have an amazing talk today, and we may do a couple series in this. It's all about conscious feminine medicine, what the planet needs right now, what the female and the divine feminine is experiencing. She has committed the last 25 years to helping women heal their hearts and bodies by stepping into their true essence, reclaiming themselves physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Dr. Marciano is the founder of Conscious Feminine Medicine, a nonprofit organization, the School of Conscious Feminine Medicine and Nourishing Women in South Florida. She is also known as the healer of healers and a leader in the feminine movement of this time of the Great Awakening. So I'd like to just jump in with you, Dr. Marciano. Thank you so much for coming on. And I just know that there's so much potent medicine you have to share and teach. So.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here. Absolutely.
So you're a wealth of knowledge. You have so much training and wisdom, and your bio. I can read all of it. It's going to take me a long time to read it, but
That's okay. Yeah, that's not important.
you've clearly invested so many years into this passion of yours. Your life's purpose is very clear. Tell us a little bit about what started for you? So at the age of six, I kind of just want to go a little bit into your story, and then we'll kind of deep dive into the feminine, the esoteric, and yeah.
Right. Wonderful. Well, yes, as you said, at the age of six, I did have a near-death experience. And that was very profound. In the years to follow, I'm not going to bore you with all of the details, but it really spun me into a physical crisis and spiritual crisis. Not of course, not at six, but it created a lot of layers of trauma and terror in my body that that I started to really pursue and start to unwind. I started to do that at the age of 20. I decided I was going to start meditating. I was raised in an environment with my mother that, I was kind of privy to meditation and some of the more esoteric teachings and wisdom. But of course, as any child or teenager usually does, I really didn't get any of it or really want to get any of it because it was, in my home. So I dismissed a lot of it. And at the age of 20, I started to really decide for myself that, that there was something there that I wanted to really try to understand. I think what prompted a lot of that from the trauma that I lived in, from what I would see around me as people being very disconnected, and I saw a lot of, fear. I saw, the women in my family kind of, acting and moving from fear, and I really couldn't feel the essence, the love, not the love, of course, as a mother and the emotional love that's in a family, but the real deep, unconditional love, that foundation. And intellectually, I knew that that existed because I had, already read, and like I said, I was raised with some of these concepts, but I couldn't feel it. And so I kind of went on my own path of discovery, of which I did have to go through, these crises as well, because as I started to dive deeper into these esoteric paths, the spiritual paths, the Vedic, the yogi path, with with the guru, and then more the Taoist, and I dove into Chinese medicine as well. And then finally, I came to the Sufi path, which really kind of added a deeper layer of understanding and embodiment. And then, and then all of these pieces of the feminine came in around 2010 and started to create a whole new level of understanding and embodiment. So my life's work's been to kind of synthesize, because I believe that all paths have, the essence of truth within them. But
Yes.
of course, as we've talked before, they have been in this patriarchal system that we're still living in. They've kind of come through in this patriarchal system, and the feminine has been missing from them. And so that's kind of been where my focus has been in the last 12 years, of really bringing the feminine like back online. Yeah.
Love that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
This conscious feminine medicine, what is the medicine that we are needing so much right now? And I know that as I say this, I'm needing this medicine myself, and the medicine is being birthed through me, and it's something that is within all of us. And for many of us, we're finally starting to step in. But what does that really look like? Because a lot of times I say this on my show a lot, is it's hard to even translate how we are feeling or what we are bringing in.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, because when we start to talk, I mean, language is dualistic. So when we start to talk about these non-dual states, these states of oneness, these states of, that we may experience as unconditional love or peace or safety, in our bodies, this is our experience of it. But what is it? It's like when we talk about the soul or the spirit, it's like, well, how do we put words to something that's so ephemeral? But going back to your question, what it is, if I could say it in one sentence or in a couple of sentences, it's really the medicine that I'm trying to, really point out here is the medicine that is within us. It's our soul. It's the secret of our soul. It's this treasure of our spirit, that we have been disconnected from, that we have been conditioned to look outside of ourselves for our needs. And the truth is that we are capable of actually connecting with our essence, with our soul, with that which we call the divine, the sacred nature, because that's really who we are. It's really our essence. And then that essence has been made manifest into our physical form, our body. So it's about starting to, or continuing to, because I'm sure a lot of your listeners are already awakened to this truth within themselves, but it's really about, evolving this intellectual truth, this concept of being, this concept of our essence, and awakening to all of the ways in which we are that, and releasing all of the ways, or dissolving all of the ways that we're not. In other words, like our sense of personality, or of our doing, or of our patterns that we're used to identifying with, like, oh, I am this, or I am that, or I am, the roles that we play in life. Those are the things we do. Those are the things that manifest from our essence. But who are we in our essence? It's like we are this spirit. And within that's the true medicine, because that we're going to call it sacred nature. Okay, just for a minute, we're going to call it sacred nature or essence. That is who we are. That is what truly, truly nourishes us. That's what truly makes us happy, fulfills us. That's what we're all desperately looking outside of us for, you know, and really, you know, as the saying says, it's like we carry this. We are these things. We are the peace. You know, we are the love. But it's very easy to say that, you know, and have that as a concept. And it's a whole other ballgame to feel that, to know that, to embody that, you know, so that there's no doubt in your being that, you know, when you're needing this, you know, you can take some time when you're needing peace, for example, you can take time to go within and connect yourself with your true essence, where the peace is, where the love is.
Beautiful.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you. You mentioned something about, you know, just when we're not somewhere in the beginning about lack of safety. And I really wanted to mention and speak about, you know, of course, we are in these very trying times with the COVID, you know, and there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of lack of safety in our bodies, in our environment, in our homes. Where is the origination point of some of the original lack of safety that the divine feminine, whether it's, you know, the collective clearing, I believe that what is in one is in all. And so I'd really love to touch on that topic. I know it's a big question.
Yeah, I think you need a podcast for each of these questions, honestly, but it's wonderful. Yeah. And so, you know, that the first thing that comes up when you say that, and when I tune into that, it's really about, you know, the fear. Where's the origination point? Well, what I want to say first about that is that women, as many other minorities, as we're seeing with the Black community as well, you know, there's been this whole disconnect of really, and I, you know, now it's showing up collectively, like you said, all this fear. But for women, it's like this fear of survival that, you know, that our culture as a whole is experiencing. We have been experiencing it for thousands of years because, you know, honestly, it hasn't been safe to be a woman in thousands and thousands of years. And of course, Western women, we you know, feel safer than the rest of the world. But in many parts of the world, there's still a lot of, you know, abuse and a lot of trauma that women go through on a daily basis. And so collectively, you know, and that's part of the culture that we're breaking down. That's part of the patriarchy. That's part of the, of this repression of the feminine that has existed for between 5 to 6 to 7,000 years in our culture, which along with this repression of the feminine, it has also been kind of pointed towards or affected women as a whole. Even though, you know, that feminine and masculine, we carry, both men and women carry the feminine and the masculine. So feminine isn't only women. But nonetheless, the conscious feminine aspect really comes through in women very closely. And women have had to disconnect from their own feminine traits, like their own emotional terrain, you know, how they feel their emotions very strongly, usually because their emotions are connecting them to their soul and to their heart. So their hearts are very open. You know, and again, some men have these qualities, but, you know, most men have identify more with the masculine qualities, which that's a whole other podcast. But the point is, you know, even our intuition, even our ability of some of the feminine qualities like intuition, the unseen, the soul, the emotions, and even women in their bodies, all of these things have become taboo or unacceptable. And, you know, in ancient times, I mean, you know, women were actually, you know, they displayed any of these intuitive traits, of course, didn't survive that. So collectively, we carry that in our being. And, and then out in the world, you see that as lack of compassion, lack of heart. You know, what's driving our world is, you know, is money and this exaggerated egoic essence of wanting to, you know, of survival. And so that lack of feminine that women have experienced for, you know, thousands of years, has been really, you know, is connected to this fear that we feel in our bodies, this lack of safety. And now we see it projected, or we see it actually rising up in all of the world. Now it's going into these great awakening times. It's almost like you can't deny the fear that's there anymore, this field of fear. And that's part of the shift that's happening. As the feminine is awakening, we're actually able to connect with this essence within us, which is our essence. It's our soul, and start to feel the true safety, because nothing outside of us can make us feel safe. The safety comes from within, and it's connecting with this realm of our sacred nature. You know, and as human beings, we're both. We're beings, you know, and we're human. So the being part is the part that we've kind of been in denial of, or thought that we don't need it for anything. You know, we don't need that part. Let's just forget about that and let's just do. But the truth is that when we're disconnected from that, we come to where we are today in our world, which is very painful to see. Where it's power over others, connecting with the power within yourself. And it's very painful, and it's very traumatic. And it's not sustainable to continue without the feminine qualities of the heart. It's just not sustainable within us and in our world.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for bringing up so many amazing points. There was a question that came through organically, and I don't know if you'd like to, it's a big one, but it's something that wanted to come through, and that was, is there a shadow behind the disconnection, the disconnect of where, you know, we just felt kind of fell from grace, or we just fell like, you know, because I know for me in my own life, there's been so many different things, of course, carrying mm-hmm. my own trauma from childhood, divorce, mm-hmm. you know, all kinds of things, right? Because I've been peeling the layers myself right. ever since I awakened, and it's not easy work. Let me say that for one. You know, it's definitely the path of initiation, path of a warrior, right. spiritual warriors, which is most of what the people that are listening to sure. this podcast. But I'd really, you know, there's so much going on in the shadow right now. It's like we cannot deny it. This eclipse was all about mm-hmm. bringing the deepest, darkest parts of our shadow. So I'd really like to see if you can give a little nugget on even like the disconnect, where we feel so comfortable just leaving our bodies, just disconnecting, because it can be so overwhelming and so heavy and feel like such a burden.
Yeah. Because
I know we're not here to feel that. I know we're here to be in joy.
Right. Yeah. And I think, you know, there's so many ways we can go with that, but, It is not enjoyable, because we've lost the essence of joy. Where does joy resonate from? It resonates from our essence, from our sacred nature. And if we're not in contact with that, then, you know, then we're seeking it outside of ourselves. And that's almost like a never-ending battle because we're not going to find it. You know, even if we, you know, win the lotto or have the best, I don't know what people think about, you know, the best cars, the best house, the best relationship, you know, that fulfills us. It's temporary. It's temporary. And it doesn't quite get to the deepest aspect of our being. It doesn't quite hit that place. And so there's this constant need that, you know, that is not getting nourished.
Hey everyone, sorry, we got a little glitch in the matrix, as we like to call it. And we are back.
Disconnected.
Yeah. So please continue. You were saying that there's this constant need for us looking outside, maybe when we're not being nourished. That's a really huge one.
Right. And so, you know, it is painful. It is painful to function from this place of disconnect. And the truth is, though, that the medicine is within. You know, there's nothing outside of ourselves that's going to give us that deep sense of joy, of pleasure. Like I was saying with the joy, that, you know, without joy, it's just not, you know, very exciting. And it's very painful existence if we don't feel the joy. And the truth is that we don't need anything on the outer to feel joy. Those things that we get on the outer that we do, that we experience, you know, relationships or things that we buy, or, you know, even the creative aspects of our doing outside in the world, those are really extra, you know, because the real joy is from within, and it's connecting with that presence within. And, you know, it's just about being able to be in your presence, in your essence, so that you can feel these jewels within you. And that's a process, like you said. It's like this process of going through these experiences, the traumas, the conditioning, and feeling, allowing yourself, you know, part of this feminine, conscious feminine awakening is really about feeling all of the trauma that we have experienced in the past, ourselves and our ancestors, and bringing it back home, you know, bringing it back to, I say back home because it's like bringing it back to the essence of love, because that love that you are, that unconditional love that doesn't need anything added to it, it doesn't need to, you know, to do certain things for it to be there, to exist. It exists. And everything is manifested from that love, right? So everything in form, every body, everything is an actual manifestation from that field of love, including ourselves. And when we're in contact with that, you know, everything is okay. Even if we're in the middle of the storm that we're in right now with COVID and with, you know, everybody's rights being, you know, questioned. And, you know, we're seeing kind of all of these pieces of the, you know, patriarchal matrix kind of starting to, you know, come to a head, if you may.
Yes.
It's okay, because there's, you know, you can lean on this intelligence that's actually in source, which is within us, right? So we can start to trust in the goodness, you know, in the essence, in not only trust in it, but then also work with that, envision that, embody that, and then start to bring that transmission onto the planet, right? So it's like being the change that you want to see in the world, as Gandhi so famously wrote.
Right.
So, you know, then we become the transmissions of love, right? We become that anchor and we become that change. And it's an inner process. So we can't change the world we're in, you know, in the same level of consciousness that we're existing from, this exaggerated egoic sense that doesn't know that it's really a divine being, You know, we can't change it. We can't, you know, we can come up with a million different solutions, but it's not going to change, because what needs to change is the consciousness, our consciousness. Again, I know that all of your listeners are already on this path, so I'm not minimizing that. So it's not a matter of, you know, becoming aware of that. It's a matter of continuing with that process, you know, this evolution of our, what I call, of our feminine soul, because it's this feminine qualities that we are here to awaken within us, embody, and then, you know, be the anchors for as we move forward in our lives and in the world, and create the world that we want to see. It's not going to happen out there. It's like, we're the ones we've been waiting for.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And as you said that, I just have a yellow butterfly. It's like floating around everywhere.
Absolutely. And it is, you know, oh, sorry. I just wanted to touch on that part that you said, that it is, you know, it's a hard process, but I think it's harder to say, what are we going to do? Are we just going to give up and just be in this, you know, in this constricted reality, or, you know, or just connect, you know, continue this evolution with the love? It's really about embodying love. And I know that the word love is very cliche, but it's really about embodying that true essence of unconditional love, not the love that we're used to as human beings or as humans, but it's really the, you know, can we move from love and embody love that is who we are? You know, can we get to that root? And so then the journey becomes very sweet, because, you know, when we're in pain from one of our past experiences that we're moving through, that's something that triggered, for example, this whole COVID, you know, has triggered fear for a lot of people, but the fear's already been there. It's just been hidden, you know? Oh, and so in a way, it's like the universe is saying, okay, let's deal with this. Let's deal and let's clear this up a little bit. You know, let's clear these layers and layers and layers of fear and survival that we have been functioning under. And let's kind of transmute that and transform that. And so we have to face it. But at the minute that we face the fear, you know, there's ways, you know, there's practices that I know we're not going to talk about here, but there's practices that we do to allow us first to embody that love, touch that field, connect with it, and feel it tangibly in our bodies. And then we go into the places that are in separation, that are in fear and grief and sadness and hopelessness. And what happens is there's this beautiful alchemical process that it just merges. It's almost like the denser vibration of fear is embraced by the higher frequencies of love, of safety, of peace. And it just transmutes, and we don't have to do anything per se. You know, we do have to bring our awareness to it. It is a conscious process. That's why I, you know, very early on, it was always about the conscious feminine, because it's about not putting yourself in somebody else's hands and say, okay, you know, do whatever you do and heal me and this will be gone. Or, you know, that's not the era that we're moving into. We're moving into sovereignty, which means, you know, we are responsible for our well-being. We are responsible for how we feel, and we're responsible for the world as well, because the world is a reflection of our own state of consciousness. And in saying that, it's a conscious process. It's like, it's about how do we move through these different realms within ourselves and anchor in our essence, and then let everything else dissolve into that. Continuing to dissolve, continuing to transform, continuing to transmute. Right. So, and that's the new era. That's the new era of feminine sovereignty that I titled the title of my latest book, because it is about knowing that you don't need any intermediaries to connect with your divine essence. It's within you.
And what can you give us a nugget
the listeners on what is one way that you can do that yourself? Because I know that many of us are in this massive transformational metamorphosis process, and I call it, it feels like you're about to bust through your seams, you know? Yeah. There's this like this incubation period, which has come to maturity, and you're feeling all the feelings. You're feeling frustrated. You're feeling defeated. You can feel, you know, elated sometimes. You can feel really low and really sad sometimes. And I've been feeling all of the feelings like a roller coaster. And it can get really challenging. And I know that right now I'm not alone in this process. What is one of the ways that the listeners could use or a takeaway tool to more connect with their higher self? Because I know that is the way out. The way out is in. And we don't want to, oftentimes it gets so uncomfortable where you just, again, you know, you're in the thick of it. Some of us are in the thick of the dark night. Some are experiencing, you know, like you had mentioned, a lot of old traumas coming up, a lot of the old shadows, a lot of old fear. What do we do in that instance? What have you learned through your walking?
I think that the first thing we have to realize is that if we're not in the love, we're not connected in the moment to our essence. Okay, that's the first thing. So when we're in another emotion, and we're going to have emotions because we're human and beings, so we're human. And in this human aspect, we're going to feel the dualistic nature of this incarnation, which is, you know, in our emotional body. So there's nothing wrong with that. That only becomes very, very painful when we're disconnected from our spiritual essence. So if we're not in the love, if we're not feeling the love, if we're in anything other, then just know intellectually that okay, you know, I'm feeling all this other stuff. How do I come back into presence in this present moment? Because in this present moment, I'm right here. My consciousness is right here, and I'm just disconnected because I'm kind of caught in this wave, or, you know, if you can think of your emotions as this, as the clouds, right? So I'm kind of caught in this storm and I'm disconnected from my root. It's funny how you said higher self, because I actually think of it, you know, as more root, you know, more in the womb. You know, it's almost like we're disconnected from the womb. And so when we're disconnected from the womb within ourselves, we can just stop. You know, it's almost like feel what you're in. It's like giving ourselves, first of all, time to disconnect from the outer world, because we live in a world that doesn't support our being connected to our spirit, right? It doesn't acknowledge that dimension readily. So that's changing, but, you know, we still have a lot of work to do. And it's really about, it's like just stopping. And the one thing that we can do is giving ourselves some space, giving ourselves some quiet, because we also want to move into stillness. So, you know, again, moving away from the noise, stopping, putting our feet on the ground, and just breathing and breathing. And then as we breathe, we want to let that breath go all the way down into our womb, into our sacral womb, which our womb is connected to the great mother, the great cosmic womb of the great mother. And that's the feminine face of God, if you may, or it's the great mother, which I, you know, call or source. And it's about just trusting that, you know, we haven't trusted that. We haven't known how to trust that, because we've been so conditioned to not trust that, or to trust in a masculine, an exaggerated masculine source or God that hasn't been very compassionate. And so our whole sense of God, source, divine, even that is going through our own metamorphosis as we step into this work, really. Even that has to go through its own transmutation and transformation, because the divine source that we're sourced in, that we are here expressing, is love, right? And so if it's love, it's not, you know, it's something that we can start to trust, something that we can start to feel safe in. And that's, you know, that's almost like it turns us upside down, because that's not how we've been raised, most of us. You know, that's not the culture, that's not the collective, that's not the narrative that's out there. And so again, it's like through breath and through just coming into this present moment right here, you know, and letting everything else go, and whatever we're feeling, fear, hopelessness, you know, whatever the feeling is, it's like letting it move through our body in that moment. It's like sometimes we want to journal, because journal is a way for it to move. But we're moving it as we're knowing that we're trusting the essence of love that's underneath it. So it's like realizing there's this other field of truth, of source, of love that's right underneath whatever you're feeling right now. And you may not be able to feel it, you may not be able to see it, but it's there. And that's how we start to begin to embody that feeling more, that reality more. I say feeling because when we feel it in our bodies, it becomes real to us in our brains. You know, it's like, oh yes, this is here, this is tangible. It's not just an intellectual concept. It's right. Yes. So it's like really, you know, along in that process, we release the shame of our body. We release the shame of feelings, you know, that is probably there unconsciously if you're a woman. And so stillness, another thing that is easy to do. It takes time though. You actually have to like stop what you're doing and dedicate time to take care of your need in that moment, which is something else that we're not raised to do, right? But you can also go out in nature, you know, and then stand on the grass, stand on Mother Earth and become present. It's like letting, it's like allowing your feelings, giving yourself permission to feel what you're feeling, not judging yourself. And then what happens is, once you give yourself permission, it's like loving permission to feel, in a way that is stepping into the love, because you're no longer judging, you're no longer saying, I shouldn't be feeling this, you know, I should know better, or this is inappropriate, you know, all of those voices that we hold on to, and none of it is true. So allowing this river of emotions to flow, and then with our breath just breathing in the love, breathing in the embrace of the Great Mother, breathing in and allowing, and then what happens is that alchemy happens automatically. And you know, sometimes you're dealing with really intense trauma like I have, and you know, these are, you know, like terror, for example. Terror is a very difficult emotion to go through on your own. I mean, you know, I could have never done it on my own. I needed to have support,
right?
You know, and it's always good to get support, but the support is very important, because you want people to support you that have already gone through this, that have already transmuted it and already transformed it to some degree. Because if not, then you're getting their voices, or voices like, oh, don't worry. Oh, that you don't have to, yeah, you don't have to do that. No, that, you know, whatever. And they're actually taking you away from it because of their own unconscious fear. And, you know, they're trying to keep you safe from their own perspective. They're doing, you know, they're giving you that love, but that's conditioned, you know?
Right.
So it's not like they're doing anything wrong. They're just being there in the way that they can be there, but that's not helpful, really, you know, to be able to kind of really let these traumas and these deep places of wounding within us be heard and be witnessed, be acknowledged, and be transformed back into the love. Mm. It's like a distillation process, you know? Yeah. And it takes surrender.
Love that.
Yeah. And so when I was going through a lot of my own personal, you know, terror and fear from, you know, being in the car accident, which actually arose many, many, many years later, I didn't really process any of those feelings until about 30 something years later. And that's because there was no safety in my being yet to process, you know, a near death, like, you know, death and dying and these feelings, you know, that were still trapped in my body to some degree and the cellular memory of these experiences. So, yeah, and I had to have help, you know, and so, and there's a lot of support and, you know, and there's a lot of support that, you know, there's tons of classes, there's YouTube videos, there's, you know, and then there's personal sessions with me. So I try to create, you know, support on all levels, you know, for women, because it's, you know, it's hard for me to find what I needed from a woman, you know. A lot of the spiritual teachers are men, and it's nothing wrong, but there's a difference, you know, there's a difference of how they're holding the spiritual essence and how women hold it, just because there's a difference in experience and biology and et cetera.
Yeah.
And in wounding, you know, and what we've gone through the last 5 or 6,000 years isn't the same thing as what men have gone through. They have their own wounding and their own pain. And I'm not denying that, but it's different.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that. That brings me to a question regarding balancing the masculine and feminine, because we carry both within, and sometimes it's so off balance. And for many of us, we can tune in and see when that's happening and catch it. And again, it's about moment to moment awareness. It's a lot of work. Like I always say, don't think this path is easy by any means, because it is a path of great responsibility to yourself first, you know, and so we are the change that we want to see. It starts right here at home, right? It starts right here. If someone is asking or wondering, you know, okay, well, how do I balance it? It's so easy to talk about it, right? It's so easy to just, but it's, again, I think noticing, and then how would you suggest to that direct experience of that?
Balancing the masculine and the feminine. I think, you know, again, I think once we bring the feminine online and we do the work with the feminine, you know, which is, you know, like working with at least the three collective wounds of the feminine, which are the working through shame and working through our powerlessness and working through our abandonment, and all the different ways that that comes out in our psyche, in our mind, in our soul, in our bodies, then, you know, then there's already an inner balance, you know, of our doing and our being. Then we can be with ourselves because it feels safe. You know, earlier you said something, and that's what we got caught off about, leaving the body. And we leave the body because it doesn't feel safe,
right?
You know, in our own bodies as women. And that needs to be addressed. And I know that the concept is that it's a hard path, but actually it's the path of love. It's like, it's really, It's only hard because we're looking at the places we're facing. We're not in denial anymore. And we're facing, you know, the pain head on. Mm-hmm. But in the moment we face it, it dissolves. Mm-hmm. And so it's really the path of real love, like real joy, real beauty. And when you're fulfilled with that, you know, most of your day, it's like, it's really the most joyous path, you know? Mm-hmm. But I think that organically, this masculine and feminine balancing can happen organically, because it's about, you know, when we're connected to our essence, and then we start to let go of all of those veils and conditioning that have basically kept us from ourselves, selves with a capital S, then, you know, then it's like there's this natural process that happens where we're in tune with our inner wisdom, so that we're able to hear the inner wisdom and know when it's time to move out more in the world and do more, which is more masculine in nature, and when it's time to, you know, come into our hearts and our souls more and nourish ourselves and give ourselves what we're needing that day, you know. And then there's this inner dance that starts to happen organically. I know in New Age it's very popular to, you know, talk about, oh, let's balance the masculine and feminine, and yes, you know, it's like we can kind of impose that, but in my opinion, it's like that only goes so far. You know, and then we have to really get to the real, you know, to the shadow, to the underworld, to this, you know, to this place, this field of fear. I think it's really all embedded in fear, in our survival, and where we have, you know, again, disconnected from the feminine, and where we've lived in this way of an exaggerated masculine and doing more and looking for everything out there and, you know, trying to feed our soul from the outer. And that's not even the masculine anyway. That's an exaggerated, you know, in order to survive. And so I think this time, this great awakening is about shifting these levels of consciousness within us and dissolving these veils.
Now, I love that. Yeah, I love that you said that, but go on.
I just wanted to say, having said that, the process of feminine and masculine that I've worked with in my groups with women, you know, again, it's not the first thing we do, because there's a tremendous amount of pain that has to be unearthed first. Mm-hmm. And we have to come into a place of safety and security within our own bodies as women and our own psyches. And then we can start to look at, okay, what's our relationship with the men in our lives, with the father, with God as a man, you know, that so many of us were conditioned with. And we may not think that this affects us consciously, but I bet you that if you're on this planet in the last 5,000 years, you're going to have some unconscious pieces, whether, you know, you're from yourself or your ancestors or collectively, that is informing the way you feel about yourself. It's informing what you do, you know, how you act in life, what you take on, you know, your sense of self-worth. All of those things are all connected. And so it's a time of, once there's a certain level of security and your idea and your experience of the feminine has been integrated into your being, then we can safely now look at our relationship and heal the relationship with the masculine.
You love that. Yeah,
but you have to have safety first. You have to have safety first.
Because if you don't, you're always running.
And then you're creating more trauma. It's almost like reliving your trauma. And that's why I say it's really important to, you know, to do some of the deeper work, of the deeper trauma work is always important to do with group. And, you know, I'm not a psychotherapist. I am a holistic doctor. And so this doesn't take, you know, the place of therapy with a therapist, if you feel mm-hmm. that's helpful. However, I have worked in the past with a lot of therapists, and so I think it's a way, you know, if you are working with a therapist, it's important to find a therapist that does, you know, that moves out of the conceptual reality and more into the embodiment, because we're here to actually, you know, heal our bodies, the cellular memory of trauma as well. So
I totally agree with you. It's so hard to find. And I think for people that are listening, set your intention, call it out, write it down, you know, that you would like to find the perfect, you know, mentor or healer to work mm-hmm. with. You know, if you're listening to this, it would be ideal to check Lenore out, Dr. Lenore. And, mm-hmm. you know, and that's the thing. It's like, we don't have to try so hard. Sometimes people are right in front of us.
Right.
And I know in my own personal experience, once you reach a certain level of depth, you just are looking, you're just, again, like you said, you're looking for someone to bring those jewels out. Mm. And you can't do that with surface level work. So if, for instance, I cannot deep dive with my clients when I haven't done certain things,
right,
it just won't work.
Yeah,
the deeper I go, the more I can help those people with the perfect medicine, the alchemy that right. they're looking for, that I've transmuted. And that's exactly what you do. I mean, you're a wealth of information. So and I know we're going to do a part two of this as well, so we could go deeper into the practical, the initiations. Mm-hmm. And something that I also wanted to tell people, the listeners, about is really getting more into moon symbolism and the dark mother and our cycles and, you know, coming just how it relates to even astrology and all of that good stuff. Such amazing stuff. I mean, it lights me up to have these conversations.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really wonderful when we start to see, you know, with our heart and start to see all of these correlations. And, you know, really, we're living in this. I mean, the world and we are magical. It's like we're these magical beings. And, you know, we've kind of cut all that out in a way in our society and in our culture and our collective. And so we're here to bring back the magic. And so, yeah, the path, you know, it does make you face, you know, the places of pain, but it liberates you. It's the only thing that will liberate you. And it's the only thing that offers, you know, the real dive into yourself, your essence, your love, the joy, the magic, you know, and your power, you know. And so that, again, it's like we're in this time of sovereignty and realizing that we have the power. Not just to heal, you know, by connecting with our divine dimension, but also to manifest, to co-create, but to co-create not from our exaggerated egoic mind. It's more about co-creating from the heart, you know, co-creating on the planet. So it is magic. And I think it's important to remember that, to focus on that,
right,
and not focus on the, on the pain, because that transmutes, you know, that transmutes.
And I often say, and if people are in a lot of pain and they are feeling lack of unity, one of the things to get into alignment is to go through all of these very dark, deep shadows, the lack of mm-hmm. unity, you know, the lack of love, the lack of self-love. You know, you feel all mm-hmm. of these things. And that's, again, all of these things are a deep, deep messenger to get you back in alignment.
Exactly. So
this is all happening for us. And I tend to forget myself when I'm in the thick of it.
Of course. Of course. Yeah. It's like we're in a loving universe. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We're in a loving universe. And it's like everything that happens is for our evolution. And yes, we can, you know, there's very painful things that we see, injustices that we've been, you know, obviously right in front of our face. I mean, they've been going on for thousands of years, but now it's like everybody is seeing it. And it's hard to imagine that that is out of love, that that is out of our, you know, something, you know, bringing some goodness to our hearts. But in a way, I mean, you know, in a way, it, everything that we're feeling really is from the divine. And then these feelings are just bringing up all the places within us that are in separation, right? And they're just asking to be seen, to be heard, to be acknowledged, because it wasn't. These are unresolved places in our own experience and, again, in our ancestral trauma that's been there. And so they're just asking to be brought back into the love. And it's our responsibility, not anybody else's. Like, people aren't here to make us feel good. You know, it's like we're here, you know, it's like we are here to bring the compassion through. And then we can live, you know, in a world that reflects more of the true consciousness of compassion, you know?
That's beautiful. Thank you so much. Yeah, I love that. I loved having this conversation with you.
Thank you.
Let's see here. I wanted to maybe ask one last question, if I may. And that is, you know, you mentioned this earlier, the birth of the conscious feminine and stepping into to our sovereignty, right? Fully stepping in. This is what this whole shift is about, standing in our power, taking our power back. In practical terms, what does that look like for someone? Like when they say, I'm sovereign, I'm grounded, I'm in my womb, I'm connected to Earth Mother, I'm here.
Yeah, well, what that means is that, you know, what that looks like is that when we are feeling in any particular way, you know, when we're not feeling in the love, it's like we don't blame someone else for our experience in the moment. We know that we are allowing that experience to some degree, and we look within to bring the medicine to that moment of what we're needing. So our needs, again, it's like being responsible for our needs. I mean, we've learned to deny our needs. We've learned to not be needy. We've learned to kind of like pretend that doesn't exist. But we're human and we have this whole emotional terrain, and we do need, you know, certain things. I mean, essentially what we're all needing is love. Again, I feel like I've said that word 3 million times on this podcast, but we're all looking for that acceptance. And yet it's not about someone else giving it to us. That's number one. You know, it's like letting go of blaming others. You know, if we're in a relationship that's abusive, then, you know, what keeps us there? You know, yes, it doesn't mean the other person, whatever the other person isn't doing, isn't, you know, isn't wrong, you know, in, or is, you know, in any way, you know, we don't want to let go of that aspect. It doesn't mean that the outer world isn't doing things that are, I mean, I hate to use the word wrong, but there is a place of right and wrong. But it's more, there's, you know, it's like you are in charge of you, you know, and looking within to see what pattern is keeping you stuck. You know, it's taking responsibility and then saying, oh yeah, I see how I do this. I see how my, you know, fear of rejection keeps me, you know, stuck in this relationship. I see how my fear of whatever, I see how, you know, my fear of the unknown, of stepping out, of breaking this relationship, has kept me stuck all these years. So it's, and then you work with that, and then you bring those fears into the love, and then you let that transmute. That's the healing part. And then you choose, you know, do I want to be in this or not? And sometimes it's painful to let go of things that we know we're no longer aligned with, or no longer, you know, feeds us in any way. But that's our responsibility. Again, it's like we have to kind of grow up and do that work, mm-hmm. and be responsible for ourselves. And the most important part of our sovereignty is knowing that we don't need anybody outside of us to tell us what's right for us. Mm. So, you know, we've been in this patriarchal domination system that we're in. We have been trained to give away our power, to always ask, you know, and always be kind of like on watching what or responding to what others are telling us is right for us. And then we doubt ourselves, because we've been, you know, trained to doubt our emotions. We've been trained to doubt our bodies. And the truth is that our bodies are this vessel of energy, right? Of energy made into form. And you actually receive the wisdom through your body.
Right.
So your body is like the barometer, right, of where to move next, of what to do. Yes, no. Is this an alignment? Is this not an alignment? So as women, if we start to trust our bodies, of course, we first have to kind of like clear the layers of pain a little bit, right? Because it's, if not, we're just kind of going from our own painful, wounded heart.
Right.
And that's another story. But our bodies are the barometer, and they're the vessel to connect with the divine.
Mm.
And so, you know, once we clear the shame that we have of our bodies, once we clear these, you know, patterns, especially in our society, of women having to look a certain way to have any value, you know, we start to realize these narratives really are the complete opposite of what we really are. And we start to see our bodies as this instrument, especially in the heart, in our womb, that we can feel. It's like the divine, the big divine, the source spirit is literally speaking to us. She's speaking to us at all times,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's, and so the sovereignty is about knowing that that's really who you are. And that even in a session with someone else, you know, it's not about going to a session or having a session to see what you need. It's about having the session so that you can clear what's in the way, so that you can listen to your own wisdom. And I say own, but it's really not your wisdom. It's consciousness wisdom, right? Mm-hmm. It's the divine's wisdom, because we're all divine in that way.
Love that.
Yeah. And it's really important, because we are so trained to not listen, to doubt, to fear. Oh my God, if I do this, something's going to happen and it's going to be my fault. And, you know, we have so many narratives around that. And we don't realize our true value, who we truly are.
Right.
We're expressions of that divine.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I would love to have you back the next part two. We can deep dive a little bit on the other things that I had mentioned about.
Sure.
More about the healing process, alchemy, awareness, dark mother, all of these very exciting topics that I know a lot of females, feminine, this is just a movement that's happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are looking for this very medicine that you have to offer. So yeah. If you can please let people know for today where to find you, and then I will leave all of Dr. Lenore's information in the show notes in case you guys would like to get in touch with her or even check out her book.
Thank you. Thank you. So sure. You know, consciousfemininemedicine.com is the website, and Conscious Feminine Medicine is a non-for-profit. So I do, we put on a lot of programs for women that are paid by the heart, so that you can pay, you know, what you're able to in this moment, you know, whether it's full price or half price or, you know, just a small token in the moment, so that, you know, money is not an issue, because I know in our culture, in our society, it is an issue many times for people getting what they need. And so I also have a YouTube channel, Conscious Feminine Medicine, and a few books out, but I'm sure all that information is there. I thank you very much for this wonderful, wonderful talk today.
Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Please like, share, and subscribe, and we will see you in the next episode. Mm-hmm.